Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We are continuing to talk about the draft with you. We will get back into our Atlanta Hawks, who are now out of the playoffs and have some changes to make. Many of you say, hey, both of these guys, they cannot exist at the same time. And that is, of course, DJ, DeJounte Murray, and Trae Young. We're going to get back into that conversation after last night's L to the Bulls coming up in less than 15 minutes. Right now, though, we want to talk more draft with our buddy Sam Munson from PFF. He is the lead NFL analyst. And Sam, we appreciate you jumping on with us. Our conversation has started and is continuing to revolve around the edge rushers. We have been getting different opinions from folks around the country. And I want to get your take on these edge rushers, specifically Dallas Turner, and then this class as a whole, because everybody just has us penciled in with Dallas Turner, and I'm not necessarily sold on that.
Yeah, I think there's a big three when it comes to edge rushers in this draft. I think it's Dallas Turner, and he's most people's number one guy. But then I think you've got Jared Verse from Florida State and Laiatu Latu from UCLA. Latu, I think, is an interesting prospect because – if you didn't have any medical issues whatsoever, if we just were looking at Latu and there was a completely clean medical history and all those kinds of things, I think he's clearly the best player of the three right now. He's significantly more productive than either of the other two guys. And if you look at PFF grade and pass rush win rate and pressure rate and all those kinds of things, he's got a college resume that stacks up with guys like the Bosa brothers and Miles Garrett and Chase Young as genuinely one of the best edge rushers we've seen come into the league in years. And the only sort of downside to him would be athleticism, which I think has been overstated. And actually his combine workouts were pretty good. And PFF has a metric, a data point called PFF gas, which is tracking data. It's in-game athleticism. And Latu's in-game athleticism has been off the charts. It's been elite. He's one of the best athletes on the field when it matters, with the pads on, between the hashes. So I think Latu is a phenomenal edge rusher prospect, but the medicals will be a concern for some teams. And then you end up with this Dallas Turner versus Jared Verse conversation where, you know, Turner is a spectacular athlete and a pretty good pass rusher. Certainly not he's not a Trayvon Walker or a Tyree Wilson in terms of a guy that's only projection and only athleticism. He's definitely been a good player as well, but there's more of a projection with him, I think, than there is with the other two.
And Sam Munson, guys, with us, NFL draft analyst. We're talking about, Jared. Is Jared Verse just so one-dimensional that's what makes him a guy that's only worth trading down for if you're the Falcons?
No, I think Verse is an interesting composite of the other two guys, where he's incredibly powerful. He's been productive at that, but he doesn't have the range of pass rush moves that a guy like Latu has. But the ones that he has, I think, have been more productive and more successful than, say, Dallas Turner. So I think there's an interesting kind of compromise player in Jared Verse between the other two guys. But I do think that his production and his profile means he should be in that discussion at the top half of the first round.
All right, so as we talk about positions and positions that are deep in this draft, we keep getting back to corners. Who's your top corner, and who do you project will be the top corner taken off the board first?
Yeah, I think corner is a very deep position in this class. Corner is an interesting spot, though, when you start talking about draft rankings, because it's going to be different depending on the team, depending on what defense you run, what your scheme is. I don't think, and this is true for a lot of positions, but corner maybe more than any other, I think you need to sort of quantify what the team is we're going to be talking about, because each team is going to have very different rankings. I really love Terrion Arnold from Alabama. I think he's got some of the most slick movement skills, man coverage ability, the capacity to mirror receivers of any corner to come along in years. I think his ability to do that is virtually unmatched, but teams that don't run man coverage a lot are not going to have Terrion Arnold necessarily at the top of their rankings, because other corners in this class, I think, are better in off coverage or better playing zone. But again, I feel like corner is a little bit like edge rusher in terms of a top tier and then a bit of a gap. Arnold would be one of them. I think Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo is definitely one of them as well. And then Nate Wiggins from Clemson would be the other guy I put into that list. I think all three of those guys are extremely good prospects and belong, you know, firmly at the top, towards the top half of the first round.
Cooper DeJean is a guy whose name comes up, but either you love him or you feel that. I've seen some mock drafts where he goes in the top 15, others where he falls all the way down to like the Ravens at the end of the first round.
Yeah, he's got a really good profile. Like, he's been a productive college player. When he did get cleared medically a couple of weeks ago, he was able to go out there and put a good 40 time out there and good vertical and explosive measurables with the jumps as well. The only thing we didn't see from him was the change of direction stuff, the three cone, the short shuttle, that kind of thing. And as much as we have, you know, basketball highlights and that kind of thing, you do see a little bit of kind of stiffness in that change of direction from his college tape, certainly compared with a guy like Terrion Arnold. So I think that's part of the reason why you're hearing some teams or some people kind of speculate or wonder what position he plays at the next level. Like, does he really have that hip fluidity, the ability to completely change direction on a dime to be able to stay at the outside corner where he was obviously a really good player in college?
Why, in your opinion, do we see McCarthy continue to seemingly move up in this draft? When this thing first started, and I don't know where you have him, Sam, but, you know, it was like, oh, he's the fifth or sixth best quarterback. Now, all of a sudden, you know, we're seeing this guy maybe being the third quarterback taken off the board. Why?
I think there's a few things working towards this. Number one, there was this narrative right away with McCarthy that the NFL likes this guy more than college football fans and or just, you know, the public or draft analysts or journalists or, you know, beat writers, whatever. The NFL was always higher on J.J. McCarthy, and that was reported sort of immediately and has been consistent all the way through the process. So part of this is those two things just bridging and meeting in the middle, right? Is everybody kind of catching up to where the NFL values this guy the more information they hear? Number two, the NFL is not necessarily working on the same time scale as everybody else. So even though the college football fans are watching this guy play all the way through the season, coaches weren't. NFL coaches weren't necessarily tied into to watching J.J. McCarthy and Jaden Daniels and, you know, Michael Penix Jr. week after week. They get to these guys in depth in the last couple of months. They've only been doing their work now. So again, we're starting to sort of figure out what those guys believe much later in the process. And then I think the final thing is, you know, we have had more information post-draft. We've had these guys in for meetings with teams and they've, you know, been able to work them out. And there have been sort of new elements of information even post the college football season. So none of those things I think are giant needle movers on their own, but you start piecing them all together, I think that can move a guy's draft stock. So I think it's all of those things working in tandem, pushing him in one direction.
I've been doing all the PFF mocks, and again, your guys' analytics sometimes vary from some of the other websites we've seen out there. Talking with Sam Monson, guys, PFF lead NFL analyst. One thing we do is take the best athlete. What if, for argument's sake, Alt is there from Notre Dame? We could maybe use him as a tackle. Do you see him as a generational guy or just the best of the offensive linemen, because some of the opinions vary on him?
Yeah, I don't think he's necessarily a truly generational offensive tackle. Obviously, from a size and athleticism standpoint, he's pretty top tier. I mean, we're talking about a mammoth human being, 6'9", and this almost too big, you know, definitely a prototypical sized offensive tackle. He's really good in the run game. He's the most well-rounded of these offensive tackle prospects. And depending on what it is you're sort of focusing on, I think he could be absolutely your number one guy. But yeah, I don't think he's a really generational offensive tackle prospect and a guy that, you know, doesn't come along that often that you have to go and prioritize him as your top pick.
We keep playing the scenario out. Sam Munson, our guest, guys, PFF lead NFL analyst here on Dukes and Bell, as we talk about the upcoming NFL draft, that if a receiver is there, depending on how these quarterbacks go in the first three or four picks or whatever, that the Falcons could pick one of these guys. And I keep saying, and Sam, tell me I'm wrong, like if it's, you know, Malik Nabers, I don't think you can pass that up. Certainly you're not passing up Marvin Harrison if he slides. I mean, so I keep saying, I don't care what the need is. If one of those guys is there, I think the Falcons have to take him.
There's definitely an argument to be made. I mean, those three guys, I think, are, number one, they're in a tier by themselves. I think there's a big gap between those three and whoever you think wide receiver four is. For most people, mm-hmm. that's Brian Thomas Jr. You know, other people are going to have different fourth wide receivers, but there's a big gap between those first three guys and the fourth guy in this draft class. And I think any of the three would be the top wide receiver in most drafts. You know, this year, they're just all coming into the draft at the same time. But Roma Dunze, Malik Nabers, either one of those guys would be the top wide receiver in almost any given draft class. So, yeah, I think there's absolutely a case to be made that if you're sitting there at eight where Atlanta is, or if he makes it past Atlanta, you know, those are elite prospects that could be the best player in the draft sitting there at the bottom of the top 10, and that's incredible value to turn down. On the other hand, this is an incredible wide receiver draft class, and the depth is ridiculous in the second and the third rounds, and that's not true for a lot of other positions. So, you know, edge rusher, for example, like we talked about the big three, and then I think there is a significant gap, and the edge rusher position just doesn't have the depth that the receiver class has this year. So if you're one of these teams that, you know, has a need and is looking at it and saying, well, yeah, but we can come back in the second or the third round and address that spot, it's easier to do that with receiver than it is some of these other positions. So I think it's definitely a fair argument to make that it's going to be tough to turn down a guy as good as Roma Dunze or Malik Nabers, but it's also going to be a lot easier to get 80% of that player in the second or the third round than it is at a different position.
Mm. Just real quick, because we've got Raheem Morris here. He was part of that Rams. We were kind of enamored with how they pulled the draft off last year because they went and found, like, some great picks in the third round with Byron Young and Kobe Turner. Did you guys think those guys would be that good in the third round?
I think they can be, yeah. This receiver class, I think, is – we say this every year. You know, it's the best receiver class to come along in years, and I think it keeps being true because of the college landscape and just the way the game is being played now – all the way through high school and all the way through college. So, you know, wide receivers 4 through like 15 this year, I think, are really tightly bunched. You could get guys like, you know, Xavier Leggett, Tez Walker, you know, Jermaine Burton, if he didn't have the sort of red flags off the field, Roman Wilson. There's so many of these guys that might be available in the second or the third round, all of whom could walk onto an NFL field and be really productive right away. And that continues for, you know, a real extended depth throughout this draft. So I do think that you're going to be able to get, you know, like last year, Tank Dell, right? A third round draft pick, a guy that was able to come in and immediately make an impact to a team that looked pretty good in Houston. Obviously, Puka Nacua was a complete outlier in terms of a fifth round guy that was basically a league leading level of receiver. But I do think you're going to be able to find guys like Tank Dell this year throughout the second and the third round that can come in and make a real difference to teams' offenses.
Cool.
Cannot wait. Sam, great work. Enjoy reading your stuff, and we appreciate you stopping by today. PFF lead NFL analyst, thank you so much.
Anytime, guys. Take it easy.
Coming up, we are going to talk about a loss last night, and has it changed the narrative for the Hawks? We have to dive into it. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Hawks are done, and what's it mean for the offseason? We'll get to it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What happened last night? Did it change your mind any on the direction of our Atlanta Hawks? 404-726-0929. Big O, we're going to take a few phone calls here. All right? Want to know what you guys are thinking after seeing the Hawks fall to the Bulls and what needs to change. I said today Do you trust that Landry Fields, the general manager, and the assistant general manager, Kyle Korver, are going to be able to do what needs to be done? It's easy to say all this stuff needs to happen, Mike, after the Hawks lose 131-116 to the Bulls, but can you pull it off? Can you do some of the things that we've been talking about? And specifically, do you just run this back with Trey and DJ and say, okay, we'll put better players around them?
All right, well, how are you going to afford that? How are you going to make that happen? Because at some point, you know, we said, look, no owner in any sport is going to be throwing bad money down the drain if this team is a play-in team. This 3 years in a row, guys, play-in team. So, you know, even though Ressler has told us on numerous occasions he's not afraid to spend, why would you think he'd spend now? You know, I think you got to blow it up, bro. Okay. I'd blow it up. You and I talked about it. We looked at the numbers. The last year that Russell Westbrook was at Oklahoma City was 2019. Then he got traded to the Rockets. And then they went and they had 3 years of not making the playoffs.
Correct.
So they went three. SGA got drafted.
Yep.
And he developed. And then fast forward from 2019 to 2023, 24, boom, first place in the West.
You're saying that could be us?
If you get it right.
Because I was going to say.
You got to get it right.
They've hit on every damn thing.
I mean, that's just it. I mean, they nailed it. If Travis Schlenk was still picking the groceries, I'd be really excited about that idea.
Yeah. Well,
but he's not.
You felt like the vision was there, and he wasn't afraid to change the vision.
Right.
And here's the thing with the Hawks and his fans. We got to, like, give the benefit of the doubt to Landry Fields because he got thrust into this, right?
Right.
In the middle of that whole ordeal was like, okay, he's our new general manager. And then we had him on the show, and we said, are you able to do the things you want to do? And he said, look, they don't hold me back. All right, Landry, this year, this offseason, right, we're going to get a chance to see if that's the case. Now, I know everything can't be fixed in one offseason, guys, but the decision to either trade Trey, and I've said this, I don't think we get three first-round picks for Trey. I just
don't think so?
I don't.
Mike, even the Lakers?
Here's the crazy thing. Whatever you think the value is of your car, is it ever the value?
It depreciates, and you know, unless you keep the miles down, you're right. You never ever get that Kelly Blue Book you think you're getting.
You could keep your car pristine. Trey is a pristine player. He averages 26-10, night in and night out. He's been an all-star. We can talk about all that. What you value him and what you think he is and what other teams are willing to give for him are two different things. Do I think we get two first? Maybe. Three, I don't believe that. And you're certainly not going to get that back for DeJounte Murray. So I feel like if you want to do this whole trade, we got to trade thing, you better be bringing in another star in this on this team. And, guys, that just doesn't happen easily. There's no team. Mike just brought up SGA. No, Oklahoma City's not coming off of him.
No.
There are teams right now. Ant-Man, you think Minnesota's coming off Ant-Man? It's not like these teams are handing out and saying, all right, well, you know what, we'll take yours and you can have ours. You got to go find the right fit.
Well, that's just it. Don't everybody thinks it's kind of like flipping baseball cards,
it's
your basketball
happening.
Cards? Hey, Carl, check this out. Really interested in Jaren Jackson. We need a really big guy that can score, can do it all. How about this? I give you Capella and Bogey, and I throw in DeAndre Hunter. Is that something you'd be interested in? No,
Jaren's really good. No, they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that.
Yeah, maybe you. Last half a second longer than you just did there, but that's about it.
No, Jaren's a good player.
Yeah, it's just you got – that's the thing. You really do, guys, have to get it off the tree. The free agent class is going to cost money. Your owner's not going to be willing to spend. I just tweeted it out.
Do you not think Ressler will be able to or won't be able to spend? Won't be able to.
You didn't put more money into it after you went to the Eastern Conference Championship.
No, they ran it back.
They took Red Velvet. Nah, you know, that's a role piece. That's you know, we're out of here on that.
Yep.
I just feel that I'm not saying he's a fibber. But I'm just saying you didn't build on anything. You know, there was a time. If there was a time to spend, it would have been after that season when things were sexy and we talked with guys who want to play on winners and play with guys that they respect. I'm not even talking to guys. It has nothing to do with Trey and what the perception of him around the league is. If I ran the Hawks, I would blow it up. 3 years in a row of playing, guys, it's just not working. Every national NBA guy that comes on the show says you blow it up. The only fans, I mean, I get it. It hurts. It's 3 years of, or maybe more, if you don't get it right. It can be a decade if you screw it up. And I know Hawks fans have lived through it. We've seen it. You know, then there's years we're grinding out those. See, that's the thing. We're grinding out those playoff appearances, but that was no play-in back then. Now we have the stupid play-in thing you've added a wrinkle to.
Yeah.
You know, at least in the year, 2008, we were the 8th seed. You actually provided some excitement in the spring.
But you're still mediocre. You're still
right.
one and done. What I mean is one series and done. Chris joins us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris, has anything changed the narrative in your opinion about Trey or DeJounte or this team after the loss last night? Hey, man.
Hey, man.
What's going on, Chris?
Hey, man, so much to unpack. The loss didn't really do it for me. When the regular season ended and we were 10 games under 500, that's all I needed to know. And didn't have much stock in us winning that game, just to be honest. I wanted us to, but, you know, we're in disarray. Where I go with this, guys, you've been talking about the front office. When they got Landry and Kyle Korver, Korver was a player in the league and, you know, had his moments. But I was like, where did he come from to be an evaluator of talent and run the front office? And Landry Fields was like, who is this guy? So I know they're new, you know, and they're getting their feet wet, but they haven't shown me, much like everybody else, that they can make the decisions and the moves to get the Hawks over the hump. And I'll say this about that. As much as I'm one of the people, man, who has been a critical of Trey. He can ball, but I'm critical of him. The front office has let him down.
Great point.
They have not made great moves. The John Collins trade was just asinine. Mike, you say it all the time. You should have traded him when he had value.
Right.
And then on top of that, the picks that we've made, they haven't panned out. So that's let Trey and the rest of the team down, too. We just have not been lucky, if you want to call it luck, and found us two or three good players from the draft. I really don't know where we go from here, but if it's Landry and Korver who got to figure it out, bro, you're on the clock. Figure it out. Thank you.
It's a great phone call.
Good job, man.
Chris, thank you for hitting us up and let us know how you feel. I want to grab Chase. Chase, that's hard to follow up, but I want to know how you feel. You're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What do you think about the Hawks? Hey, man.
Hey, guys. Call it before me nailed it. Pretty much said everything I want to say, so I'll throw a little comic relief into it.
Okay.
So think of the Hawks as a fixer-upper house, an old Victorian house. You can put in new faucets. You can replace some of the walls. You can rebuild the stairs. Ultimately, you're going to spend more money trying to fix it up when you just need to tear it down to the foundation and build a new house from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, I don't want to derail the Hawks segment. I want them to have their time. But, Dukes, I've been trying to get a hold of you the last few weeks, man. You've been cracking me up about not taking Dallas Turner at 8. So, here, I've got a fix for the Falcons.
Okay.
The Falcons with a top 10 pick, historically, show us, it's kind of like giving a toddler a pair of scissors. They just simply can't be trusted. So the Falcons need to trade out of the top 10, pick up Dallas Turner or Jared Verse at 15-16, get an extra second-round pick, and everybody's happy. But, hey, Arthur Smith is gone. Let Terry cook. Let's go, guys. Rise up.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
By the way, the problem we have with trading back is only the Raiders, if you're talking about, you know, 13, what's realistic for you, have got those second-round picks you want. The Minnesota Vikings do not have a second-round pick in this year's draft. Now, I'm not interested in the future. I need now. I need starters now. Minnesota doesn't have a second-rounder. Denver does not have a second-rounder. So the 76 would be the pick you'd get. That's a third-rounder. The Raiders do have it. And that's something, you know.
They're going to use that to move
up. The Jets don't have a second rounder either. So the only one that makes sense for us to trade back to get something out of it is right now be the Raiders at 13.
Yeah.
And then you can do anything you want and it's value.
This is why the Broncos are in a pickle because they'd love to go get one of these quarterbacks. They just don't have the draft capital to do it.
Hey, we got some great listeners today and appreciate this guy puts out some good stats. His name is Kars. He's a big Hawks fan on Twitter. You've seen his stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Just bring it back to the Hawks. Hawks record from 06 to 2015. Their winning percentage was .544. They were .393 and .329. Remember, we went to the divisional round. We went to the Eastern Conference Finals, got swept by LeBron. The 60-win team, the 2015 team, didn't lose in January. 2015, NBA approves Tony Ressler, Grant Hill purchase of the Hawks. Since 15 now to 24, we have a winning percentage of .456. We are .325 and .388. So we've won less games. Those first 9 years, we won more, went to a conference finals. Last nine, we've won less and went to a conference final.
One more call here, and we appreciate all of you listening, and certainly we'll get more of your thoughts here. AJ's been holding on. AJ, thank you so much for listening to Dukes and Bell. What do you think about these Hawks?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Hey.
I just wanted to comment real quick, and just I might be the only one that feels this way, but I'm so glad that they lost last night. And so that way we wouldn't be going through an off season with a little piece of fool's gold to say that, oh, you know, well, so-and-so did good in the playoffs, and then we start the season all over again, and we're dealing with the same comments from every coach that we've had. Mm. Oh, they didn't come out, you know, they came out flat, or they came out with no effort and things of that sort. I just feel like it is probably time to blow it up. And I feel like it all needs to start off with some type of culture. You know, our culture is, I don't know, that we have a team here in Atlanta, and they play decent sometimes. That's our culture. And I feel like, you know, Trey, I like Trey and everything like that, but I feel like his game doesn't really match what we need to do as far as spreading the floor with everybody. DeJounte, I really like him too, but they don't work well together. So if either one of them that we were to keep, I would definitely like to keep DeJounte. I like the way the ball moved around when it was him and everybody else without Trey out there. But, you know, I'm just really glad that they lost. So that way that also gives that front office more time to figure out what they're going to do.
It's a great call. It's a great call. AJ, and I totally – listen, I'm vibing with you when you talk about culture. I ask this all the time about our teams, right? Identity matters. And if you can't tell me what they are, like every good team in these playoffs, I can tell you what they do well, what they don't do well, but what their identity is. We haven't had one. We just don't. And, we thought it was going to be, oh, we shoot a lot of threes. Everybody shoots threes.
And the trade never panned out. Two dominant ball guards don't coexist. They don't work together. I don't know who you want to blame. They don't work.
Mike, what do we got coming up at Guy Talk?
I can't believe a coworker is a sandwich stealer. Next in Guy Talk.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans. Yeah. Yes. Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Yeah, Joe, let's go to Hooters. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Thursday here in Paradise. And real quick, a lot of guys have been hitting us up on the text line and asking us on Twitter about next week. We'll be live at Mercedes-Benz Thursday. I believe we'll be one of those cool field suites. But it's going to be for season ticket holders only, Carl. I know in years past they have opened it up. They've charged admission and gotten some of the general fan base in there. But this will be for season ticket holders on Thursday. You go to your – you'll get an email from the Falcons, and just basically it's free. You click on it, and you get your pass on your phone. And then you roll into Mercedes-Benz and come by and say hi to us on Thursday.
Yeah, man. And we're looking forward to it. Hopefully we get a chance to see some of you folks down there. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to have all the coverage for you. I mentioned this earlier, and I just want to mention it real quick, Mike. Coverage wall-to-wall, comprehensive coverage, guys, not only Thursday night with Mike Conti, Wes Durham, Dave Archer, Friday, Wade Ford tailgate crew, John Fricke, Joe Patrick, Harper LaBelle, Saturday, Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, all live. Mm. So we are taking you through the draft. All right, man, what you got? Who what happened?
Yeah, so earlier today, thanks to the guys at Don Fausto's, we have this unbelievable food court here at Colony Square called Politan Row, which has everything, burgers, taco, you name it, they got it. And Don Fausto's is the newest addition, and they make killer Cuban sandwiches. And I know you and I love them. We were talking earlier today, Randy Mack, of course, played for the Dolphins, one of my favorite places, sandwich. I go there every time I'm in Miami, is Porta Saca. And it just love those sandwiches. So anyway, we took pictures. As a matter of fact, there's a photo up at Mike Bell ATL. You, me, what was the dude's name? The dude, the cat from the Cuban place. Gave me a freaking Trashers jersey. I should know this man's name.
He did. It was dope, too. It
I
is.
Apologize.
Dope. It is dope.
He's a really nice guy. He had season tickets for the Thrashers, and he apparently has got a ton of jerseys. And he heard me lamenting the fact that I had done, you know, the old garage sale and gotten rid of my old Thrasher gear in case we ever get him back. So it'd be nice to have the jersey. So we brought me one of the old jerseys.
Isn't that crazy?
Which is really sweet. Anyway, he's a very nice person. But anyway, so Don Fausto's, they bring the sandwiches. I take a big bite out of this one. And then I whooped it down as much of that as possible. And there's a second half. You know, they're sliced diagonally, like a long pyramid. And so you got to do the first break. Andy Randy would do the handoff, and then we do the first segment of the show. I come out. I'm ready to finish the second part of my sandwich.
Yeah.
It's freaking gone.
It's gone.
Not only is it gone, I got Abe. Hey, are you guys going to eat these sandwiches? Because there was like two
yes,
left.
Yes, Abe, there's only two.
So there were two sandwiches left. And, of course, Abe like, oh, because I was going to – no, no. I go, where's mine? I go, at first I thought he ate it. Because you saw that look. And I go to Abe, I go, where I had half a sandwich here. I mean, and I took a bite out of it. I mean, I thought I took a bite out of it.
I thought so too.
I mean, somebody ate it, took it, gone. He goes, oh, Andy Bunker took that. So Abe, first off, he's a rat. He totally narcs out Bunker.
He did. He should have just walked out.
Yeah. So you think he did it? He's lying? Or because he coughed up that name pretty quick.
You think Abe did it?
I think Abe might have. I wouldn't put it past him.
And then he blamed Bunk?
I think he did.
Oh, that's terrible.
Either way, Abe's either a narc or a thief. He's either one of both or either or. But if it's you, my God, I don't know what kind of Pacific Northwest hippie crap this is. That sandwich was my property. This is not a collective sandwich table.
I've never seen somebody walk out of a studio and want a bite of a sandwich as bad as Mike did. He was so looking forward to that second half of that sandwich, and literally goes, "Where's mine?"
So anyway, Abe Bunker, you're dead to me. And then luckily there was another sandwich. And of course, Abe was lobbying for me. No, Abe, I'm going to eat the other sandwich. And Carl had the other one. Get the hell out of here.
It was great.
Anyway, Don Fausto's, if you're looking for a great Cuban, another fantastic food choice. When we left County Square before COVID, they were redoing this whole building. Anybody who lives or works around Midtown, it really is amazing. We have a great scene here, man. All the great restaurants and the theaters, the whole shebang. It's a blast.
No, listen, the vision of what this was going to be, because I knew a lot of the tenants that were here when, you know, they were in the building for 10, 15 years. And, Mike, the vision was what we now see. But when they originally talked about it, people were like, I can't afford to be back here. Like, I can't stay in the building. And now you see all the great restaurants and things that are here. You kind of understand what they were trying to do. It is great down here.
Hey, man, yesterday we had a great time up at Taco Mac in Woodstock. Appreciate everyone who came out. We were talking with some of the folks about it. We didn't have the audio to play. We've got it for you today. Creepy exchange between Greg Doyle, who's been covering sports for years, and now working for the Indianapolis Star, and Caitlin Clark had her introductory press conference yesterday. Yeah, she was obviously the first pick in the WNBA.
Did she say anything like to blow anybody away? Like, I'm going to own the WNBA.
I'm here. Hello, world. Yeah. Like Tiger back in 97. Yeah. No, but so she does the heart thing, makes the heart, you know, two hands to make a heart to her family and to the fans.
That's a thing.
So Greg Doyle makes that. Well, take a listen. Very creepy. Listen to this.
Hi. Caitlin, Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
Making the
you
heart
like,
sign.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me and we'll be able to get along just fine. So, question is.
So, immediately, people are like, okay, it's a little creepy.
Okay, was it tongue in cheek, though?
But he's doing the heart. I mean, a writer sitting there doing the heart sign to another woman.
And again, I didn't see it. This is the first time I've heard the audio. I heard you talking about it to, I guess it was to Chris yesterday. Hmm. But okay, I just want to believe, because that is creepy. I want to believe that he was not trying to hit on her, that was like one of those innocent things. All right, you're here. I'm happy you're here because we're going to be winning.
Right.
And now you can do this to me because I'm going to be covering you guys. Like, it was more than that?
Well, it's kind of like Keith Olbermann, Rebecca Lobo fanboy.
Oh,
kind of weird.
What?
That story. For those who don't know, it was in the ESPN book. It's been reported. You can Google it. I'll say no more. Just Google Keith Olbermann, Rebecca Lobo, and see what you find. Mm. And I'll leave it there. But that wasn't the only weird thing that Doyle said. After he did the heart thing, if you do this, we'll be fine. Then he talks to the coach of the team, Christy Sides. And this is weird. He refers to Caitlin Clark this way. He goes, quote, "You were just given the keys to that," referring to Clark. "What are you going to do with it?"
Yeah, he's talking about her being one of the best players in the league already.
You were describing her as that, and what are you going to do with it?
It's not the right adjective, I understand. But
I mean, it's not like it's a pronoun. I don't believe Caitlin Clark has ever said she identifies as a that.
Yeah, I get it. I don't know.
What in the wide world of sports is going on in Greg Doyle's head?
I don't know what to make of it. Maybe he's just trying to make a good impression, and he's hoping that.
Well, that's a fail.
Okay.
All right. That's a fail.
Listen, I'm trying to give you all the reasons why this is not creepy when it just sounds like it is.
Can you make the heart sign again towards me?
Well, see, but he didn't say it like that. That's
a question for Caitlin Clark.
My name is I like Caitlin Clark. Yeah, make the heart symbol for me.
That's the difference. Like, he said it in a way that's, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe. Is he getting a lot of crap for this?
I like you, Caitlin. I'm going to
be. He apologized publicly yesterday for it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's weird.
Time and place, guys. Time and place.
Creepy writer. Tom Brady's out there. And yes, we played that soundbite for you about him saying that, you know, he wouldn't rule out a phone call late in the season for maybe getting out of the broadcast booth he hasn't even stepped into yet to then go play football for a team contending for a Super Bowl. To perhaps underscore the seriousness of that claim, Tom decides, you know, because he's Tom, to go put a video out there 24 years after his combine experience of him running somewhere in South Florida with no shirt on.
I'm 45 years old, man. There's a lot of shit going on.
Yeah,
so.
You're right about that, player.
No bull excuses. Show up for yourself so you can show up all damn day.
I totally buy into him taking a phone call and seeing what that would be. Now, isn't he vested with the Raiders or something like that?
Not necessarily.
Okay. Okay.
Like we thought he was. I don't believe that ever got approved.
Because that would be the other part that he'd have to get taken care of.
I don't know where that stands, if that was still on the table or not. But yeah, he was supposed to be getting a piece of the Raiders. Hey, man, one last nugget. For any guy of a certain age, of my, like me, and you're in your 50s, I love the Allman Brothers, big fan. Dickie Betts passed away, 80 years of age. Man, the guy, after Dwayne Allman dies in the motorcycle accident down in Macon, he becomes the guitar player, writes some of the great songs, including this.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, good dude. Known to run with some of my favorite songs. It's a song basically, Carl, about getting older and you got no boys to go run the streets with. But anyway, up in heaven, you know what they say, Carl. If there's a band, if they get rock and roll in heaven, it's a hell of a band.
Allman Brothers are
great. Squidbilly's uncle said that, actually.
No, they're great, man. That's that's crazy. Yeah,
been a part of Georgia music history. But anyway, Dickie Betts passed away. And, hey, appreciate you guys hitting us up. A lot of comments on the Hawks. We'll dive back into the Hawks conversation. We got a lot of passion out there. That's coming up in the five.
Yeah, because I think you guys realize maybe just how far away we are. And this is not an overnight fix. But when we come back, we got to get to the Falcon Report. Kool-Aid. You want some?
Mm-hmm.
It's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.